This is Peter Adkiss, and giving a shout out to all of you out there listening to Gamers Haven and also Fistful of Comics. Keep it up.
It's game time.
Quiet, please. I am analyzing.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Is the next step the transplantation of the human brain?
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Stand by for action.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Okay.
Remember, we're not dealing with an intelligence on our own level.
Bring in the logic probe!
Ooh!
End of line.
Welcome back to the Gamers Haven podcast. We celebrated our 50th episode last time, and now we're doing episode 51, where we're going through lots and lots of feedback that
52.
We have. 52?
We skipped 51.
We skipped 51?
Yes, we did.
Okay. That's okay.
We were supposed to record last time, but we decided not to. This is 52. There's a lost episode out there somewhere.
There is a lost episode.
So when we're famous, people will always look for the lost episode.
Yeah, so I should just number it from 50 to 52, just and we can always refer back to episode 51.
Yeah, 51 was like the greatest episode we've ever made.
Yeah,
and we'll
and
give
then,
clues.
Yeah. I like this plan, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
And then, after we get done, you know, DVDs, CDs, that type of thing, at some point, after we've milked that for all it's worth, we'll actually put out a number 51.
And it'll be crap.
Right. It'll just be us, I don't know.
Going, ha, you guys fell for it.
Yeah.
You're a bunch of asses.
Playing kazoos or something.
You have kazoos?
Sweet!
They're fairly inexpensive. I think you can find them anywhere.
That's true.
Maybe a dollar store.
Whoa.
Anyway, so 52.
52, episode 52.
Yes.
We have... a good deal of feedback to go through, so that's actually what this entire episode is. It's just going to be a catch-up episode, and we're going to sort of shoot the breeze and talk about what people are talking to us about and stuff. So, because we're all a bit brain-addled from... I'm a little bit brain-addled from getting CantCon stuff ready. Nathan's a bit brain-addled from doing Shadowrun.
Working Shadowrun characters.
Yes.
Whose idea was it to make it to where you had to spend build points to get money for gear and require that you buy all that crappy-ass gear... when you make the damn character. I mean, honestly.
You know what I did for Gear?
It sucks.
I just went through and got blaster. Lightsaber. Oh, you have some credits, which you won't be spending in the game.
I think you buy all like the crap, like all the cyberware and shit. You can't just give it to them. I'm sorry. Pardon my language. Slipping a smurf there.
Blaster.
Blaster.
Blaster rifle. Grenade. I was done! Yay!
Woohoo!
I'm just gonna start giving him stuff and be like, eh.
Yeah. This guy is a medic. So
does this guy have a rocket launcher?
Stuff.
Yeah, whatever.
This guy is a Wookiee. I gave him severed, like, limbs and.
You're a Wookiee in Shadowrun?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, Shadowrun. You should make one of them a
Wookiee. So, anyway, we'll be back right after this.
Get the newest releases at RPG Now. Only at RPG Now can you get the absolute latest and best releases from fantastic publishers like Palladium Books and White Wolf Publishing. There are new products every single day. Come to RPGNow.com and get them the instant they're available.
Gamers Haven and the Vorpal Network, in association with Pinnacle Entertainment Group, present. A Thousand Monkeys Production.
Deadlands.
enough room to die.
An actual play recording of Deadlands Reloaded. Available for download at www.CanadianCrusaders.com.
This is the Vorpal Network.
All right, and we are back. And as we said in the intro, we are going to be talking about a lot of feedback we've gotten recently. So talk about our actual play, talk about whatever the heck comes to mind, really.
Because apparently we're very popular recently with emails.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, it happens when you stockpile. All right.
So actually, you've been storing them for the past year.
Yes.
Oh, dear God.
I'm weird like that.
Back in episode 5, you guys discussed blank. I don't remember episode 5. I don't even remember
We had an episode 5?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I don't even know what I'm doing.
All right. Where we got an email from Andrew Wilson. Hello, Mr. Wilson.
Wilson.
Wilson. Who says, and actually he's from Silent 7 Games. He says, so I was going to wait to email you until I'd listened to all of your actual play podcasts, but you keep begging for feedback, so I figured what the heck. I've almost listened to all the actual play. The new Wizards College and Lost Tales went up recently, so I haven't listened to those yet. I'm still in episode 7 of Deadlands. I was behind on that since, you know, it's not D&D. Yes, Deadlands is not D&D. I also haven't listened to your feng shui. Why not? I mean, come on. All the cool people do. And maybe others that are slipping my mind because they weren't D&D. I sense a theme here. He likes D&D.
No.
I'll probably get to those eventually since I'm that kind of OCD. Must consume all role-playing media.
That's
good. We have lots of stuff to listen to.
Mostly D&D.
Yeah, well.
Not really.
There's a lot of it. Deadlands is giving it a good run. Especially if I keep doing like 6-hour sessions. Anyway, since you hadn't got any negative comments on Hercule's accent, I'll go ahead and register a formal complaint. I won't say the accent is bad, as I'm not an expert on such thing, but I will say it's a trifle annoying. Also, is he supposed to be from somewhere French-like? That's certainly not a French accent. Yeah. That's, I know. Okay. And I know he's annoying, yeah.
What people have to understand is the whole purpose of Hercule Gaston's accent is to be annoying.
Uh-huh.
It's not to be any sort of regional accent. It's just to be annoying.
Because exactly.
It's one of ways to grate on the other players, because that's what Hercule Gaston does.
Uh-huh.
He went to
and
school
he's very,
to be
very good at that.
What school did he go to be annoying?
what school are we going to again? It's helping.
Some sort of wizard's college. I don't remember anymore.
Deforian.
Darfor or whatever. I don't know. Yeah.
Darfur, maybe.
Darfur College.
Do they feed you there? Is the army outside?
Come to think of it.
No, that was really racist.
That was really horrible and awesome. All right. We got an email. I think we actually have discussed that email before, but that's okay. I like having repeats. Anyway, got an email from Sebastian Pouchon. Yes, Sebastian Pouchon.
Pouchon. That's an awesome name.
Pouchon. Or Canadian. Yes.
Could be Canadian.
French-Canadian.
He actually is responding. He is a member of a game company called GameWorks, and he responded to a review I posted in a snippet for a game called Animalia. Or Animalia, I guess is how you call it. He just wanted to let us know that Animalia is, let's see. It says, thanks for the review. I forwarded your contact or distributor in Canada. He's in Montreal. As a footnote, Animalia isn't out of print yet, and you can also find a travel version without medals for a more moderate price. So if you listen to the snippet reviews, I was under the impression it was out of print, but apparently it's not. So it is still in print, and you can get a cheaper travel version, which is good because the regular version
is
about $30, and
what
it was a bit much.
This?
It's a card game called Animalia. It's a kind of hard to explain type of game. Here, I can play the review for you.
And we pause.
Shut up.
After that fascinating review.
Here it is.
The last game we played was a very quick game that I believe is out of print called Animalia, which was put out by Essen Games, I believe. It is an out-of-print game. I'm not sure if that's who put it out or not. You can still find it various places. It's about a $30 real quick play card game. We played with five players, and essentially it's kind of hard to explain what the game's about, but it's a card game with five suits of different animals. And you go through three rounds, and the point of the game is to have as many of the same color or one of each color in front of you by the time everyone has been dealt five cards. Now, the way the dealing works is someone is the dealer, puts a card out in front of them. If they don't want it, they pass it to the person on their left, and then they have the option of passing it again. And if it goes all the way back around to the dealer, he draws a second card and pairs it with that, and he can determine if he wants it and goes around again. If at a certain time, like say you got three cards in front of you and a three-card pair comes around to you, you can't accept it because the most you can have is five cards. In the middle of after each round, whoever has the most points, which is determined by these combination of stars and ink blots that are on the card. Ink blots take away points. Stars give you points. Those determine how many points you get, and those people with the highest points get cards that they get to put in their hand. Now they can use those cards at the end for scoring to basically when you get points for the most suit you have, like blue or red or purple or whatever. You can use those cards if you want to substitute for stuff that's in front of you. It's a quick play game. I think it'd be great for kids. Probably not too young. It was kind of hard to explain the rules. I found that after you played through a round of it, it was a bit easier to comprehend. It's a lot of fun. I think the price match on it, $30, is a bit much, honestly. And I can see why it sort of went out of print. Probably people didn't want to drop $30 on it. It's a good game. I enjoyed it, but I wouldn't go drop $30 on it. So that's it for the.
Yeah, that was Animalia.
I just got another email.
All right, yeah, Animalia. It was a fun game, but it was $30. And for what you get for $30, it really wasn't worth it. But there's a travel version apparently for $15. So.
$15 is worth it.
Yes. Much better, much better.
Well, that answers that question.
Yes. And now on to our copious amounts of email from Dave Griffin.
Who is Dave Griffin?
He's the hate mail.
Okay. He emailed back?
Oh, several times.
Whoa.
Okay.
What, did he hate
Here's the first one.
Oh, it's about Deadlands.
This is about Deadlands. Okay, I've just listened to your last episode and your response to my slaver letter. This is the guy who had an issue with what we said about slavery, remember?
Right.
He said, I think it's possible there are two questionable assumptions inherent to your argument. First, that D&D characters are taught to respect the morality of the cultures they visit. Second, that D&D characters are taught to respect the morality of the culture they belong to. If your D&D party were to visit an Aztec city and see a priest about to sacrifice a young screaming girl, they would be unlikely to think, do you suppose that what he's doing is considered a good act here? No, they'd save the girl because it's the morally thing, it's
maybe
the morality that underlines the game.
How many Aztec warriors are in this city?
You have a point.
Because sometimes you should run away.
Discretion is the better part of valor.
Yes. They are supposed to bring with them a morality, an alignment, if you will, that tells them what is right. Now, we're not dealing with robots here, so you never quite know what the party will do, but that's what most parties would do. That's
evil
why
robots?
It's possible to write adventures evil because
robots.
There's a predictable morality in D&D characters. D&D 4th edition allows your newly created character to come from pretty much anywhere you want them to come from, even some very evil places, the Drow, the Underdark, Thay, Luskan, etc. Clearly, it's not the intention of the game for you to bring with you your hometown morals, but to transcend them. This is clearly illustrated by Dritz Doerden, whose morality is certainly a long way from the morals of his hometown.
Dritz is a pussy.
Oh, don't start Ethan.
There's more. In the end, of course.
Stand up for himself as a drow.
Well, he's a drow. They suck anyway. In the end, of course. Well, Jeremy, of course, in this case, Jeremy is wrong. Drow suck. Now, in the end, of course, the DM and the players decide what game they want to play, but playing slavers as, quote, good is the aberrant choice relative to the game, not the desire to attack of such a practice. As such, the DM has the obligation to get the sign-off of his players when he's going to do something, quote-unquote, different with the morality of the game, because indeed the desire to attack the slaver is a natural one. Perhaps more subtlety or some investigation is called rather than just pulling out the sword, but the desire should be there if the player is playing the way the writers intended. You're probably thinking about your Wizards College game, great game and great players, by the way. You're getting a lot of mileage in a funny way from Hercule's total cluelessness regarding the damages people are doing to themselves and their slaves. You've softened the blow somewhat by showing through the slave rebellion that they are experiencing negative consequences and by having many of their slaves be evil monsters. However, if you want to see that humor disappear, put the other players in the position of being asked or even required to stop a human slave rebellion by dragging the slaves back for Hercule's dad. You may find they have less of an acceptance of slavery than you imagine. No, of course not. That's not for us to do. We're wizards. That's for the militia to deal with.
Yes.
Besides, we've had several slave rebellions. We'll always get more slaves.
How much is the bounty on these slaves? I've got some mercenaries that are out of work.
Exactly.
They're human. Is that okay? Again, how much?
No, and the slaves in that are orcs. Now, I've been trying, Hercule's been trying to convince his father that kobolds make much, much better slaves. They're a lot more docile. But
yes,
anyway, that's beside the point.
But the fact of the matter is if we were asked to go quell a human slave rebellion, we'd go, okay, whatever.
At least in that campaign.
Not a single one of those players would bat an eye about it. We'd be like,
for that
they're
game,
slaves.
Yeah.
Well, in that game, it's been established very heavily that
now,
slavery is common.
I think what...
Every culture has slavery.
What we're going into is just like... I always go back to the ancient Rome thing.
It's skewed perspective.
It's if you have a character that comes from a society that has slaves... I don't think that it should be automatic that your that you as a player and as a character saying, I'm against slavery, because you've lived with it
all your
bloody life, technically, as a character, you know? So what happened to make you think it's horrible? I mean, in ancient Rome, the people who were slaves, yes, they were treated horribly, they were treated terribly, but the Roman citizens looked at it and said, these people have allowed themselves to become slaves.
And then when
therefore, it's their fault.
And then when some
that's their justification.
Some of them were freed.
Yes.
They would then go if they had the money
and
buy
slaves.
Yes. And
it's just society.
And there was a different level of being a slave. If you were a slave that had had like culinary skill or could sing well or could play a musical instrument, you were more valuable property. Or if you were a Greek slave who knew how to read and write and do all this other stuff, you were very valuable and a status symbol to have that slave, and you were treated very well. But you were still allowed, you were
still
looked at, you're a slave, you're property, you know?
Doesn't make it morally right. It just makes
right.
It based on the society.
The thing is it doesn't make it morally
right to
us, because we're not living in that society.
Yeah. And I don't think we should let that color our perspective in a fantasy game if you're coming from a society in a fantasy game that has slavery.
And it's already been established in the Wizard College game
mm-hmm.
that every one of us, every culture in that game essentially, aside from a couple,
yeah.
have slaves.
It's a perfectly normal thing.
Where there are slaves. So, and it's like, slavery is bad. We're just like,
Slavery now is terrible. I hate it. It's awful. It shouldn't be happening now. But however, if you asked anyone 500 years ago if slavery was okay, they'd say, oh yeah, it's fine. I have no problems with it whatsoever.
And if the orcs were in charge, you would be enslaved.
Exactly.
It's always whoever is conquering the other person.
Might makes right, apparently.
I mean, I can see where we don't... You can still allow players, if they want to, they can have a moral objection to it, but they would be considered outcast.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think just because the writers, and I'm not really sure he should be saying he knows exactly what the writers want everybody to be good.
That's a very bad assumption.
In fourth edition, I'm noticing little tidbits of where they talk about, well, you could have an evil campaign. Mm-hmm. You could have this. So that's not quite true. The game is a game. You mm-hmm. want to be heroic.
Mm-hmm. And I think my main thing of pointing out that I think is if you have, say, a player playing a lawful good paladin, if he's from a society that has slavery or has some sort of what you would consider to be a bad thing or an evil thing, your paladin might not consider that so bad because it's a part of the law of his land, you know?
And lawful good does not mean anything that falls outside of my moral code is bad. It's right. Anything that falls outside the law is bad. And so if the law of the land mm-hmm. is, in that land is, slavery is legal, then he's now, not going to break the law to free
if
those,
he's good,
those,
though,
those slaves.
If he's good, though, there is an addition to that.
Yeah.
If he's good, he will try to change the law through yes. legal means.
Yes, but he's not going to break the law to free slaves, because that goes against his
law.
Well,
code. Therefore would not be lawful, right?
Not in his country.
Yeah.
But he may go over to, you know, Joe Blow's country next door and try to free their slaves because their slaves are actually his people that were conquered in war.
That's true.
That's fine. Yes, that's true.
In any situation where he's in a foreign culture where there is no prerequisite for him to look at slavery, if slavery is legal in that country,
right.
he will not break the law.
Or look at it this way. It's like my goblins. My goblins don't believe in slavery.
Right.
But sometimes you can't pay your bills.
Exactly.
If you can't pay your bills, you've got to work it off.
That's
you're not a slave.
Yes.
You're an indentured servant.
Exactly.
And all goblins consider
you're paid
that.
For your services. It's just paid towards your debt immediately.
It's paid for your debt. Now, is that necessarily right? No, but it's the goblin way. The savage goblins just eat you.
Yes.
Now, if you worship a god of freedom, okay, yeah, you probably want to be free.
Right.
You probably want to... But if you worship the god of war, you don't care.
Yes.
Worship the god of the sun?
It depends.
I mean, well, you know, D&D 4th edition, you have a god of civilization. I mean, if you worship that god, you'd still probably be fine with it, because it's part of civilization.
It depends on the... And with that, I would say it would depend on the area.
Right.
In some areas where... Because you could still have groups of people that go, we do not like slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So what do? We leave the area. And you could be from one of those frontier groups. You know, you could be from one of those groups. And that's fine.
Oh, yeah.
I just think he's looking too much into this. And
okay.
Is there more?
Not for that, no.
Okay.
But Dave did send us another email, actually talking about everybody's favorite adventure, the Sellswords of Punjar.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
All right, he says, I've just been listening to episode 4.
And all I heard is horror stories.
Yes, I've just been listening to episode 4 of the Punjar podcast, and I've listened to a lot of your actual plays and enjoyed them very much. This was the first one where I actually felt sorry for the players instead of feeling envious. I'm not sure if the adventure is just badly written, badly balanced to first level, or they're just experiencing very bad luck. Little from column A, little from column B. But the advantage of playing D&D instead of a computer game like Oblivion is that the DM is a human being that can rebalance the encounters when they need it. Fourth edition is pretty sensitive.
Robots.
Yes,
we're robots.
You've already mentioned that we're robots.
Yes, we're robots. Fourth edition is pretty sensitive to the mix and number of the level of the players, and we need the DM to do that rebalancing. I'm just reading what he wrote. If the players are having too easy a time, raise the challenge level. If they're having an experience similar to what I heard in this episode, for God's sake, push the challenge level downward or find another adventure to play. 30 years ago, I played an adventure like this, and I didn't play D&D again for over a decade. I've seen players give up role-playing permanently after an experience like this. Think to yourself that what you're doing is participative fiction. Think of the story like an adventure movie. If you watch this movie, would you enjoy it? Well, sort of a sadistic, masochistic way, maybe.
Yes.
Most players will refuse to surrender given the type of monsters / people they are typically engaged against. So an adventure like this can lose the whole party if the DM doesn't take a hand to do his job.
Most players will
fight to the death.
Yeah.
And
surrender,
running, capture are four-letter words to them and they hate them.
I think
it's
the term
ridiculous.
Is death before dishonor unless the cleric does not have raised dead.
Yes. If the adventures are too dangerous, let's see. Yeah, if adventures are too dangerous, players stop identifying with their characters. They start thinking about them just as game pieces, and you don't want that to happen. This adventure was just painful to listen to, despite the considerable humor and good sportsmanship displayed by players in what I'd say was an impossible position. Even when they were trying to be selfless and heroic, the DM continually put obstacles in their way that kept them from even withdrawing in good order. I know it seems sometimes when you're running a game that you are playing against the players, but you're not. You're telling the story. Remember that. Everyone has the responsibility in D&D to make the game fun, and the DM has the most responsibility. It's a hard, often thankless job, but just remember you're not just a disinterested observer rolling the dice. You're shaping the story, making it challenging and seeming as if it could kill everyone at any moment, but without actually doing it. The dice might suggest to the DM, but the DM decides what happens, not the dice. Don't mistake the illusion of deadliness with actually murdering the party with a badly balanced encounter.
Oh, we weren't just murdered. We were brutally murdered.
I do believe the term is butchered or slaughtered, yes.
Oh my god.
The players win. That's what makes a good adventure. That's what makes a good adventure movie. But they may have a harder or easier time of it depending on how good they are as players. Don't penalize the players because the adventure is badly written, especially if you wrote it. Maybe your players won't tell you these things because they don't want to hurt your feelings.
No, I'll call Ethan.
But that's how it looks to me from the outside.
Wait a minute. Let me call BS on that because if he's been listening to our games, he knows that when we have a problem, cry foul awful quick.
Oh yeah, totally.
Awful quick.
Because we're whiny.
I know your players have fun, but they'd be having more fun if the challenges were reasonable. I also know that I'm listening to an old game, but I heard something similar, if less severe, in the Shadowfell game. So I think it's worth making the comments. Thanks for making the podcast available to listen to.
In the Shadowfell?
Keep on the Shadowfell?
Yeah, but we did fine.
Yeah, we survived that just fine.
That's no, because the encounters were ridiculous.
One thing to keep in mind about the Sellswords of Punjar is that was actually arranged between me and Goodman Games, and I basically agreed to run that as written.
Right.
And I made leaps of faith in that to it that I felt were logical in the situation. And the Sellswords of Punjar is just so obviously a game that an adventure that was written for 3rd edition that was converted to 4th edition,
right.
And that does not work well.
If we were like 5th level or higher,
yeah. If it had not been a 1st level adventure, I think it would have been done a lot better.
If I would have had artillery.
Yes.
And a small army.
But yes, that was a bloody, nasty, horrifying game. I do wholeheartedly agree with everyone's conjecture on that it was a just a nasty game.
We all had to be higher level for that. But at the same time,
there's a reason it went 10 adventures and stopped. It went 10 sessions and stopped.
10 sessions, yeah.
10 episodes and stopped because you guys weren't going to go back.
Yeah, we're just like no.
We're
going to
go
care.
Poke a dragon 12 times, we level up and then come back after, you know, we're 5th or 6th level. And then maybe we'll have a chance. Assholes.
As we're epic level, you appear to be flying over a city. The city of Punjar. You remember this city. So you swoop down with your dragon hordes and burn it to the ground. You then resurrect the beggar king and kill him. Resurrect, kill.
So at this point, kill. At this point, go, you know what? I say we evac and nuke the site from orbit. It's the only way to be sure.
No kidding.
Yes, and Jeremy was in the game. Nathan was not, but Nathan's heard the horror story.
And I remember going, "Sweet Jesus, what
yes,
is wrong
it
with
is
this decision?"
It is a vicious, was a very vicious thing. Also, keep in mind it's a dungeon crawl classics game,
right.
Which are very much more kick in the door, kill the monster, take
the
loot.
Oh, we kicked
type
in the
game.
Door. We didn't take the loot. We didn't kill
the
monsters.
And then got squished. It was just a badly balanced game.
I also
game,
didn't really
frankly,
like my cleric. I picked the wrong ones. It just didn't.
I mean, that, and we were still learning the system.
We were still learning
the
system.
Ultimately.
So, I mean, I see what he's saying, but, you know, with what you were told to do with the game, whatever. It's just like, whatever. Sometimes you have to have those bad sessions.
All right. Now, our next email is from Sanjian Unkara.
That's
also known, that must be his internet name because he signed it Jason.
Oh, okay.
Or he just has people call
his
him Jason because
name
his name is Sanjian
is
Unkara.
Awesome.
Yeah, Sanjian Unkara. Sounds like something, you know, the bad guy from Temple of Doom would be screaming at you, you know.
Sanjian Unkara.
And then Jason comes out.
And then Jason apparently comes out and chops him in half with machete.
Awesome.
All right. He says, "Hooray, session 14 is up," and he's talking about Wizards College. I just finished listening to the second session again today, and I'm hoping that Michael will be back to playing Saucy again soon.
Came back two sessions ago.
Yes, yes, miraculously so. I don't know if you've heard of it, but do you any of you have Kobolds Ate My Baby? I think your group would make great podcast sessions of it. I just ran my first game for my niece, who's 6, and nephew, who's 10, on Saturday. And their grandmother and aunt also played, and everyone seemed to enjoy themselves, which was good since it was my first time GMing, Jason. I have heard of Kobolds Ate My Baby. I even owned a copy of it at a certain at a time. One. Yes, our friend Scott has one. I think we're going to try to get a game in at some point. It sounds like it'd be a good, it's a beer and pretzels, cheesy game.
That's half the fun of it, though.
Let's see. And congrats on your first time GMing. Mm-hmm. I know that can always be sort of a daunting task, especially if you've got young kids in there.
They can be more forgiving, though. If they don't, they don't know.
I mean, the key thing is to have fun there. So,
right.
Let's see.
Kobolds ate my baby.
And now we get into the David Griffin and my Deadlands game. So, all right, Dave sent us another email. Said, I've been listening to your Deadlands game. Thanks for making it available. I find the world of the Weird West interesting, but find the system being used awkward and overly complex. He's talking about Savage World system.
Really?
It also suffers from the built-in assumption that that all the PCs are actually refugees from a Laurel and Hardy movie, but with lethal weapons. I don't like the concept of critical fumbles for supposedly competent heroes, and this system seems... Yeah, there you go. There's your first problem. And this system seems to make sure they not only happen, but happen all the time. I'm glad that D&D finally gave up this slapstick game mechanic. I just listened to the episode where the GM teleported one of the players into a graveyard at night in the middle of a zombie attack, soaking wet and shot. This is distressing enough, but the way he punished the party for going out and rescuing him once he beat the odds and got to the hotel seemed fairly sadistic. Yes, I am sadistic. Sweet.
We already knew that, though.
Yeah, you guys went into this knowing I'm sadistic. Especially as they were doing something selfless and heroic at the time, and he was responsible for creating the situation in a fairly arbitrary, pudgy hand of God fashion, and especially when... given that he actually did permanent damage to one of the PCs.
Mine was loyalty. It wasn't heroics. I didn't care about the rest of the
game. Is he talking about my character getting the permanent limb thing?
No, I think this time was...
No, that was me. I was eaten by zombies.
Yeah, you get busted guts and your vigor got
nothing
reduced.
Nothing about heroics, all about loyalty.
That was all about zombies chewing on him. Sometimes the GM gets hot as far as dice rolls. This isn't a problem if the GM remembers that the dice only suggest outcomes while the GM decides what happens. Just because you happen to be rolling well doesn't mean a character in a bad situation or undergoing a little bad luck should be killed or permanently maimed. If characters in a movie or a book, think Lord of the Rings, had to survive this way, Sauron would have had the ring by the end of the first act. But that wouldn't make a good book, and it doesn't make a good role-playing adventure
either. Ultimate evil power!
Don't let your good luck rolling dice as the GM punish the players unduly. And for God's sake, don't do it while they're doing something heroic. Again, thanks for making the actual play available. I'm not sure I'd be willing to post recordings of my games as you have. Keep up the good work and give the players a break now and then. Now I have to go back to listening to find out how they get out of Wichita. You see, I want to point out that he complains about it, but he goes back and listens.
But that's awesome.
So, score.
But I also like to point out that my guy critically fails.
Yes.
But I also have Grim Servant of
Death. And he did send an email
death.
About that because, this evolves. But Jeremy's character has an actual flaw called Grim Servant of Death. So when he critically fails when he's shooting,
bad
things happen.
Right.
So that's happening a lot with him. Other than that, it's actually hard to critically fail because you have to roll two ones. He does it when he rolls a one on his shoot and die.
Yeah. My other one doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If he rolls double ones, though, really bad stuff happens.
Yeah. Well, when he rolls a 1 on a shoot and die, he shoots his closest ally. If he rolls 2 ones, he shoots his closest ally and does an extra d6 damage.
It is one of those discussions, though, that is difficult to answer about critical failures. Because you are heroes. And that is a good point.
But
critical failures can be hilarious.
But even heroes screw up.
I'm sort of in the middle ground on crit failures. You know, it's I think they can be entertaining. I think they can be... somewhat realistic, but a valid point, especially if you're playing D&D, is if you roll a 1 on a d20, you critically fail. That's a 5% mm-hmm. chance that you're going to critically fail all the time.
Right.
And I'd say as you go up in level, that's as a 20th level character, you still have the same possibility mm-hmm. of critically failing. Doesn't really make a lot of sense, because as a 20th level character, you have all of this skill at this
point.
You
could modify that really simply. Just let the players roll the 1, and then you roll another dice.
Yeah, you could do it sort of like a critical miss threat type of thing.
A critical failure in Deadlands is only going to happen like maybe approximately 8% of the time. You have to roll 1s on 2 dice.
And depends on what dice you're rolling.
Yeah.
Well, but also, Robin's character, if she rolls 1s on her faith, mm-hmm.
She has a crisis of faith, but her faith reduces by 1 die type until she successfully uses a miracle again, and at which point it resets.
But also, her dice rolls suck.
That is true.
She's unlucky.
I did hand wave her whole healing bit, you know, because
that would have taken
guys
years. We would have just retired there.
You guys would just retired, and that would have been the end of the game.
We would have hunted bears.
That's true. That's true. All right. Now this is directed towards Jeremy. Jeremy, who has started this countrywide war, apparently, now.
Wait, is this the good one or the bad one? Is this the one about language?
This is one about language. Yeah.
Yes, this one's awesome.
Okay.
He is the most awesome individual in the world.
Yes. Well,
next to me.
Hopefully it's the right one here. Okay. We got an email from Marcus Bone.
Now, is this one you emailed to me?
Yes.
Is he the one that talks about the American English?
Yes.
Well, then he's awesome.
Okay, Marcus Bone. Again, great name, Marcus Bone. We love these names. I'm going to totally steal names like this for games.
Right.
Bear with me here. I just wanted to email in support of quote-unquote American English. As a New Zealander, UK English speaker, and a technical communicator by career, I feel that US English gets a raw deal.
It does.
Mr. Webster always seems to get abused for his dictionary and simplification of English, but that was his point. He and other leading minds decided that the only way the masses would ever learn to read and write was if the language was much easier to comprehend.
We're simple folk.
He looked at spelling in a logical way,
right?
And this meant getting rid of extraneous letters. So yay for Mr. Webster, and tell those Englishmen to get off their high horses, Marcus. See, I was just like, sweet, we have a listener in New Zealand.
Well, that's true, too, but that is awesome. He can come down anytime.
That's true.
Just come on down. He can just sit in with the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
So now we have a fan in Britain, New Zealand. We do have a listener in South Africa. We have one in Canada. So.
That's, you know, 4.
That's 4 countries on our side.
Yeah, I don't even.
Yeah.
Does anybody in America listen?
No.
No.
That, we're not. They're not important.
We're simple folk.
We are simple folk. We do have a guy who listens to us in Texas, but
that doesn't
count. It's Texas.
That's a country, right?
Texas is a country, right? Yeah. It might as well be. Anyway, speaking of Texas, Kirk Strite.
That's another cool name.
Another good name. Says, hey guys, sitting here listening to episode 48 of your show. I live in Texas and just heard your comment about having 2 fans in Texas. Well, now you have a third. I was born in Pittsburgh, but moved here more than 20 years ago and was heavy into D&D 2nd edition. And I'm a little behind on your regular show because I downloaded all your actual gameplay shows, starting with Deadlands Reloaded and all your episodes that had anything to do with D&D. That's a lot. And you'll be listening to those for quite a while.
Long time.
So by the time you get to this and listen to this episode, we'll probably be 40, 50. I'll be a rich lawyer. Jeremy will have his own island country.
I will have control over all the computers in the world.
Nathan will own the internet. So anyway, so if you're listening to this now, we own you. Texas is actually owned by the Gamers Haven now. And
it's part of the Gamers Haven LLC.
Yes. We bought the debt that the U.S. had, and so we own the U.S. All right.
It was only $20 at the time. Yeah. I mean, I just had it in my pocket.
We figured it would be better for us to own it rather than letting the Japanese buy it.
Exactly. You know, keep it in America.
Keep
it in America. Yeah. I mean, we are CanadianCrusaders.com, but that's beside the point. All right. See, now I lost my place. All right, I just discovered podcasting when I recently went to the dark side and got an iPhone, but it's worth selling my soul now that I have discovered podcasting and your shows. Okay, I'll buy that. Yeah, agreed. Just wanted to...
Make sure you don't get too close to it if it starts to overheat, considering it gets so hot it discolors the white plastic.
That's good for you.
And explodes. Just wanted to say how much I enjoy listening to your shows and actual gameplay during my commutes to work and even at work when I am working at my computer. I'll run your actual gameplay in the background. Just because of the podcast, it sparked me to get back into D&D, and I went out... Yeah, and I went out and got the fourth edition core books, and now most of the other books. I found a group from a Looking for Players post on the Wizards of the Coast website forums for D&D. I now play once a week, and I'm working on my own campaign so I can GM sometime in the future also. I just heard your review of Arkham Horror board game, and I have tons of old board games also, and our D&D group is looking to try some board games too. So I'm looking forward to hearing your board game episode.
That's awesome. This guy is awesome. He really learned from us.
Hearing the Deadlands gameplay...
It's like a child just leaving the nest.
I know. They grow up so fast. Hearing the Deadlands gameplay and about the Savage World system, I am interested in it, and if any of you have read or played the Firefly or Battlestar Galactica RPGs that are based on that system, I just got Rift's Ultimate Edition
was
looking for another sci-fi type RPG that you
Rifts.
Might recommend other than Rifts.
Anything but Rifts.
Thanks, and I will keep listening, Kirk Strait.
Anything but Rifts.
Get rid of Rifts.
Okay,
just don't,
first,
don't go with
I
Rifts.
Want you to take your Rifts book.
Yes.
Put it in a backpack.
Uh-huh.
Go down to your local adoption center and adopt a cat. Then, spread some cat litter on the book.
Uh-huh.
Put the cat on there.
On
the book.
Have the cat piss on the book.
There
when
you
that
go.
Is done, you also have a cat. Take care of that cat.
Which is cool. Yeah.
Is
take
cool.
care of the cat or we'll kill you.
Yeah, we really like animals. But.
The book is now
the
trash.
The book is now trash.
Throw it away.
But it did something important, because underneath that book, you should have put something important, like, I don't know, marriage license, home. You know, something.
That is completely
something,
safe.
Yeah, you know,
but
something
it'll be
important.
Safe now, because the rifts will absorb the urine, and then you can throw it out.
Yeah, exactly.
And go buy a real
because that's really the only thing that rifts is good for. Really the only thing that most Palladium books are good for.
Right.
That's not now.
I said most. Yeah. I did not
now,
say all.
I got to say, though, I am so happy he got back into gaming like he did. That's
oh, yeah.
great.
That's, I love getting great. Emails like this of people getting back
we,
into it.
That, he needs to send us more email. Or if he does, like if he records one of his sessions,
uh-huh.
send it to us.
Oh, yeah. We'll post it. Totally. And also, you know, I don't know where I was going with that. Just totally lost it entirely.
Totally get rid of the rifts.
Yes, totally burn rifts.
Yeah. Find another game.
Yeah.
Shadowrun.
Anything.
What's the cyberpunk?
I would recommend Periphery over rifts, and Periphery is a terrible game. It's not even in print anymore. It's that
Star
bad.
Star Wars. Any of the Star Wars.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Star Wars. And
Traveler, even.
Yeah.
And it's put out by Mongoose.
Just look, go to the Savage Worlds. What's that site with the players game?
SavageHeroes.com.
SavageHeroes.com. Look on there, because once you get the quick $10 book,
yes,
Savage Worlds,
the Explorer's
book,
edition.
You can then go and find a
Savage World.
A player.
And they do have
place.
A they do have a sci-fi game.
Right.
I think it's called Slipstream.
But for now,
really
don't
good.
Even buy that. Just buy the $10 rules. Go to their site and just download one of
mm-hmm.
the player generated one. Try one of those.
Oh yeah,
you'll find
totally don't play Rifts. Never play Rifts ever. I owned Firefly for a short time, but got rid of it because I. Determined I would never run it.
It's an awesome show.
It is an awesome show, but there's a Savage Worlds version.
Right.
I love Battlestar Galactica, but I haven't looked into the RPG at all.
And I don't know about an RPG.
I've reached the point in my gaming career where I'm looking at games and going, will I run that or will I play that?
Yeah.
No and no, then I don't buy it.
Right.
So that's why I haven't picked up like the Supernatural RPG or anything like that.
I don't know if I would play Battlestar Galactica because it's one, you know, you're going one way and I don't know. It's a great... I love Battlestar Galactica. I don't know.
Okay. Now back to David.
And he's back.
He's back. He says, feedback for the Deadlands podcast to the DM, which would be me. I've been enjoying the Deadlands podcast, more the group and the setting than the game system itself. As I said in my previous email, I dislike any system that makes the heroes look like fools and incompetents and that's what I think critical fumbles do. I've never used them in any of my games, and I like to think I'm with the majority for a change in that respect. I've ordered Deadlands D20 from Amazon, hoping to get information about the setting while avoiding the mechanics of a system I disapprove of. I just listened to the Indian Irritation episode. To be honest, it made me pretty uncomfortable as a DM. The game seems a pretty extreme example of balancing the encounters in such a way so as to induce despair on the part of players. I don't really want to hear. I don't really want to hear that despair in the. I don't really hear that despair in the audio, but I do hear the sort of gallows humor that is common when the players are feeling overwhelmed. When you consider the chain of events following the rescue of the children to the point that the cavalry attacked, it's a little surprising you didn't have a revolt on your hands.
That was our fault.
The cavalry on top of the shadow... The cavalry on top of the shadow creature, the shadow creature master on top of the shadow creatures, on top of the delicate Indian negotiation, on top of the revelation that their NPC was dead, and that they've been played for fools was a bit much.
No, we knew it was one of us.
Yeah, that was.
And I
that,
knew it wasn't me.
Yeah.
Who was it?
It was Dr. Franks.
Dr. Franks.
Yes.
But I knew it wasn't me, so that's all that mattered.
Between the critical fumbles and the overwhelming encounters and the permanent physical and mental injuries, I had unpleasant flashes of my last Paranoia and Call of Cthulhu games here. How could you have an unpleasant flash of a Paranoia game? I can understand unpleasant Call of Cthulhu. That's the whole point of Call of Cthulhu, is to be unpleasant.
Pleasant, yeah.
But you have fun while it's being unpleasant. Paranoia, though, is just funny. I would find it hard to maintain my positive attitude as a player. Judging from what Jeremy said during the podcast, I think you've also been successful teaching your players that you will punish any selfless or heroic thing they do with the full extent of the system. Since I play role-playing games for the opportunity to be heroic in a way I can't be in life, I think this is very sad. There have been times where, as a player, I've felt that we as a group have won out against impossible odds to win the day, and it's a great feeling. In your game, if your players do survive in the end, it would actually be true. I have envisioned your follow-up game as taking place in the Dr. Franks Memorial Home for the Criminally Insane, with all the mangled survivors wheeling themselves around in steam-powered wheelchairs, fighting monsters with their canes. I'm guessing probably, Demogorgon. Followed by the combined forces of the North and South, and maybe the entire population of Asia as undead.
We would lose against Demogorgon. I'm gonna point out.
I can honestly say that I admire your players' even temper and good sportsmanship,
Asia,
especially as I probably couldn't emulate it.
We could take the North and South Armies
by it. Yeah,
but
totally.
Not Demogorgon.
John could take the North and South Armies.
Oh, yeah.
Give him enough bullets, he's fine.
Yeah.
They're clearly...
Just don't miss.
They're clearly a great group of players any DM would be proud to have. Keep up the good work. I may have to skip the occasional encounter on the podcast when it just gets too much for me.
Oh, no, he needs to listen to all of them.
Oh, yeah, listen to them all.
Now,
I have to say something. Steam-powered wheelchairs is an awesome idea, and totally incorporating that in the next game.
I am kind of offended, though. I'm offended
so?
Because he has said that we were trained by you. By like for some like for some like monkey
dance,
thing.
Dance for your paychecks.
Okay, there are times where a GM should let the players win.
Uh-huh.
But that GM should never tell the players that he let. He should cackle evilly.
Uh-huh.
And follow up with something just twisted later on in a different game. But he can still let the players win. Because I do not want to walk away from a game knowing
the GM let you win.
The GM let me win.
Yes.
I want fairness.
Mm-hmm.
But if I know that GM will not kill me.
And I think I'm fair.
I mean, do I want to be saved occasionally? Yes. But
that's one thing I really try hard to do is I try not to have Deus Ex Machina NPCs show up and save you.
Yeah.
I hate that as a player and I hate that as a GM.
Now, occasionally, though, if something gets totally screwed, you sometimes have to have that.
Yes. I understand that.
But you'd want to do it in such a way that, like, for example, being heroic in one of my Northern Thoth games, my wife's character was horribly blown up. Now, she was blown up in a bad place.
Uh-huh.
And so her soul was going to basically be turned into
a
lemur thing. And
yes.
It was horrible. So did somebody save her? Yes. Is she in that creature's debt? Yes.
You turned it into a plot element. You turned
Is
it into something else.
Is that the proper way to do it? Yes. Unless you're playing a cleric, occasionally God will save you. Only occasionally.
Yes.
Sometimes he'll be like, I didn't save you because I want you to be over here. I am I'm your God.
Yes.
Come home.
But
I am a little bit offended
I'll
by
also
that.
Point out that the game is called Deadlands.
That's true.
It is not called...
Happy Lands
with
not
unicorns.
Not to mention, at this point, we aren't really scared of death.
Yes.
We just assume we're going to end up on the train, shoot our ways out, and continue our damn journey.
Right.
So death is not what we're afraid of. There's worse things
than
to be
death.
Afraid of.
Yes. Okay, and I got to say, Deadlands D20, dude.
Come on, Savage Worlds is actually a great system.
Deadlands D20 almost single-handedly destroyed Pinnacle, okay? That was an awful game. Awful.
I actually like this guy's emails.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But that's why I'm reading them.
But he should give Deadlands, not Deadlands of itself. If he doesn't want to do Deadlands, that's fine. But the Savage Worlds rules are beautiful.
Oh yeah!
Get rid of if you don't like the critical failures,
don't
get rid
use
of them.
Them. Yeah, don't use
if
them.
If you roll two ones, just add it up. Does it?
It's like well, okay, you fail. Yeah. Moving on.
Just get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple to get rid of it.
Oh yeah, yeah. But you know, I as far as I know, everyone's having fun with it. So yeah. You know,
we keep going back to it. But that might be because we're trained.
That's true. That's
you
true.
Have a whip.
You are good.
Leather mask.
Hey.
Creepy.
That's a good idea.
I think the reason why we keep going back to the system even when bad stuff happens like that is because we're used to stuff like that happening. I mean, that's a common occurrence in any game system. You're going to have...
Well, I think you guys still have a vested interest in your characters. I mean...
Of course we do.
Well, yeah, I don't want them to die.
So...
But...
And yes, I put you in hopeless... I do put you in hopeless situations, but you keep getting out of them. Quite frankly.
So yeah,
and yes,
you
get out of them, but you are injured.
Yeah.
Well, that happens.
I just
give you guys plenty of time to recuperate last time. So.
I just don't want to walk away knowing that, we were let to win.
Yeah. No, I'll make sure that if I let you guys win, I'll make sure that it's done in such a way that you guys don't realize it until much later on. Then you're like, yeah, that was, hey!
You son of a bitch.
No, sometimes it's okay for the players to gloat and say they won. And because the GM just should let it go. Be like,
well, no.
Because they know.
The thing is I let it go in such a way that that you guys are like, yeah, we won, we kicked some ass, and then later on you go, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Oh.
I think it's a great thing.
His follow-up email on this says, I'm curious about your feelings about the system. I've told you in the past that I'm not fond of games with critical fumbles, especially if they happen many times in a single fight. And this goes double for games where the monsters don't seem to have them. Player characters tend to roll a lot more dice than the monsters, even when the monsters do roll critical fumbles, so it seems to affect them more. If you require, for instance, a player to make a writing roll, a notice check, and two combat rolls, the odds are much better that they're going to critically fail one of them, than it would be if they only rolled one die. Does your group enjoy the critical fumbles, hitting fellow player characters in combat and so forth, and that's
yes.
why you play them? If not, why not just house rule the critical fumbles away? Are you playtesting the adventure or the game system? Secondly, does your group enjoy permanent injuries, mental and physical? If no, why keep playing them? Those seem like the worst parts of the game system to me. Since there is a D20 version of the setting, and I know you are D&D players, is there some reason why you just don't switch over to that rule set?
Because
it sucks. Or do you like the way the system plays, fumbles, deformities, and all? Were I a player of the game, those two aspects of the rules would ruin my enjoyment of the game. I keep asking myself these questions when I'm listening, so I thought I'd ask. Again, he keeps listening.
I'm still... Now I'm insulted doubly, because it's part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, do I like the permanent injury?
No, and he does send me an email here we'll get to in a minute, where he does... He gets his D20 book, and he looks at it, and he sees the hindrances, finally. And
like,
the hindrances... You know, it's like, you guys did take hindrances to give yourself extra points.
Right.
That is why... Bad stuff sometimes will happen.
Yeah.
The critical fumbles in the game, I think still it's just the since you're shooting a gun so much, you have a higher chance mm-hmm. of having a critical fumble. And when you have a critical fumble, bad things happen.
And
that's part of your hindrance.
And unlike me...
Unlike
me, when Ethan plays my character, he likes to deal with the devil a lot more than I do.
Well,
and
I do so when you're out of PowerPoint.
Yeah, yeah. Because Ethan burns through PowerPoints a lot more than I do and doesn't rely on the gun, which my character makes use of a lot more when I'm there, because I know for a fact that when I'm out of PowerPoints, I deal with the devil, I'm going to lose.
You gave one of your guns to John.
Well, that's fine. I only use one anyways.
You gave your belt to John, too.
No.
Yeah, John got shot in the head.
John wasn't a nice person.
Yeah.
He needed a gun. He got a gun.
Well, yeah, I give you
a gun.
You
got it back.
I wouldn't give you my belt for good, but...
Because you did find your stuff again.
Yeah, I didn't care after that. You got it back then.
Haha, see?
Gunfighter has to have a gun belt. Yeah, anyway. It's kind of like, look, do I like permanent injuries? No. I don't really like most systems with permanent injuries. But some games have them, so I just deal with it.
Yeah, and on top of that, there's nothing in the game that states that you can't fix it.
Yeah, you can with a raise, and actually, I don't think there's a max on raises, so officially, keep playing.
There is a max on the raises in regards to when you shoot something. If you hit with any more raises, you're still just getting that.
Leveling. I meant leveling. So there is no max on leveling. So while it would be irritating...
There could be, but there doesn't have to be, is the thing. So
I would be irritated if we were like playing five levels.
Right.
And it's like, okay, I got shot in the head.
And you guys level pretty regularly.
Yeah, we do. But I know I can... It's kind of annoying.
I try to give you guys XP in, you know, proportion to the amount of punishment I put you through.
So. But do we like it? I don't know about liking it. Now, no, it does the thing about the game, though. The thing that about NPCs not critically failing hasn't hurt my games, because my NPCs critically fail just like anybody else.
My NPCs critically fail all the freaking
time. And they get
time.
Just as much messed up as anybody else, because it's amusing.
Well, truth be told, in Savage Worlds, I mean... The only critical failures there are is if you take that hindrance, really.
Or
if you fail otherwise, you just fail.
What is a critical failure?
I don't think the game really has specific rules for critical failures anyway.
So. Yeah, it's more of the injuries. Mm-hmm. If you get
your permanent injuries, and that's if you get hosed on.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of punishment for dying. In D&D, there's a punishment for dying.
Mm-hmm.
You keep it until you make so many raises. Or not raises, whatever it's called.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Rests and extended rests or something like that.
I never played the D20 Deadlands, so I don't know. I just know that it's the Savage Worlds.
You know all the cool stuff you like about Deadlands? Mm-hmm. Not in the D20 version.
See, that's lame.
That makes it a worthless, useless game.
Because don't you like the cards?
Yes.
The dealing, you know, all that stuff.
That's
the cards,
all gone.
The chips, all that.
All gone.
Yeah.
Anyway. Not to mention making characters in Savage Worlds is so easy.
That's true. We did get some voice feedback real quick.
Hey, fellas. I've set the text of this audio to the same email, so you can snip out a blurb if it's too long or if the quality is smurf, just to let you know. Okay. I can't remember quite where I'd heard of the Game Masters first, but I started listening in June 2009, so just about a month ago, after finally making my way to AGC as a March 10th, 2009 episode. So since July 2nd, I now have all the episodes downloaded and have been making my way through them during my bouts of insomnia. And just to let you know, guys, it doesn't help with the urge to sleep any faster, but it certainly is a cure and defense against any boredom which may swing by in the in-betweens. As I write this, I finished the world... building episode, and Ethan, it's a comfort to know that I'm not the only person whose ideas were stolen by heroes from superhero settings. I certainly get that impression a lot when watching the show. I'm hoping to get this to you by your 50th, congratulations by the way, but as number 49 just dropped, I'm not sure if I missed the mark. I greatly enjoy the show, and send congrats to Mansquito and the lovely Mansquita. I vote that Ethan keeps the time machine, if only for... ease of editing, as long as the other guys haven't broken it yet. Thank you so much for the three-parter on every single episode, especially the ones that you have to cut short just because you guys get too far in your discussions. If I ever get the chance to DM, GM, or storytell, or whatever, more, I might just end up using some of the NPCs, but they are a high source of entertainment either way. Your forum links on Canadian Crusader seems to be going down at the moment, but if I find them, I'll be Celine S. Sobe there. So that's Charlie, Echo, Limo, Igloo, November, Echo, Sierra, Sierra, Alpha, Uniform, Victor, Echo. Oh, and not only can I be a Canadian, I am. So yours truly, Celine Sobe.
You're a computer tech, aren't you? With military speak for the letters? Oh, yeah.
No, that's how they speak in Canada.
Yeah, I think that's just...
Considering I have several friends who are Canadian, they don't speak like that all the time.
That's how they speak to us civilians.
They only speak to other Canadians like that. We were just getting special treatment because it was our 50th episode.
She's a computer tech, or she does something with computers, or she was in the military, because those are the only people that use that speak regularly.
And Canadians.
And Canadians, yes. And
that is awesome, though.
Yeah, I didn't realize that our Canadian person was a woman.
I didn't think any women listened to us.
Yeah,
I was like,
we're a bunch of gay, you know, just a bunch of crazy guys.
Nathan was about to say gay, and he was about to come out of the closet even though he's married, but now he's not gonna. So.
No, that's just the way I was thinking, Ethan. No, we're just a bunch of guys that sit around and talk about role-playing games. Most women look at it and go, three guys. No.
Except for this cool Canadian woman.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Thank you for listening. That's awesome. But you're obviously, you have something to do with technology in some way, shape, or form. Or you're...
She's Canadian. That's how the Canadians speak.
Canadians don't speak that way.
Yes, they do.
Or that's a really lizard cool.
Well, thank you for sending us a voicemail.
Send us another voicemail. Prove to him that that's how Canadians speak.
Do lizard people speak that way?
Jeremy, your eyelids just go sideways.
I keep getting email. Okay. And then we got, yes, apparently. Then we got an email from Jesus.
Jesus!
Are you sure it's not Jesus?
Yeah, it's Jesus Hernandez or Jesus Hernandez. I don't know. Said, great episode, guys. This is my first time emailing after listening to the podcast for about a year now. So after a year of silence, I give you my list of demands. A Mansquito update. What happened to the guy? Remember he got married and then nothing. Was Mansquito half praying mantis? Don't limit yourself to England and France. There is a whole wide world of countries to insult out there. I mean, come on. How about the Swedes?
What about Herzegovina?
And don't get me started on the Danish.
Danish.
Good bread product.
Maybe from time to time, instead of a three-parter, you can do a four-parter, with the fourth part being a gaming story from days gone by.
Oh, dear God. Don't make us do that.
And you got to relay how the three of you met. It was interesting to hear Nathan and Jeremy talk about things that happened before Ethan... But it's maddening not to know when Ethan came on the scene or how the intro went.
Before
what happened?
Ethan.
Was there a dramatic reason he showed up? Did you guys find him like a lost puppy that you nursed back to gaming health? Did he show up all trumpets and gunpowder? No, but cookies were involved.
Bribery!
Yes.
I brought cookies.
Also, a little info on your inner relationships. Are you coworkers, neighbors, any relations? I know some
cyborgs.
Of you play with brothers and wives. Do you all hang out at barbecues?
We're cyborgs.
Well, we are in Kansas City. Are you all secretly behind the major bank robberies of the last 10 years?
Probably.
We can't answer that over the air. Anywho, again, great job on the podcast. Keep it up and more info, please. Jesus.
The non-disclosure agreements that I required everybody sign restricts us from speaking about any sort of banking anything on the air.
Yes, our work with the FBI prevents us from commenting on such things. Yes.
You work with the FBI?
Ixnay on the FBI.
I just talked to this lizard guy, and he doesn't really like the FBI.
Oh, stupid lizard people. Okay, Mansquito update. Well, I think Mansquito's still around. He usually hides from Mansquito a lot.
He doesn't really like the bug zapper.
He doesn't. No, you did build that giant bug zapper, and that does keep him out. We sort of let him up.
The first time.
I showed him the chute to the surface, and he sort of goes up there now and again. He comes back with you know, random things and passports and... cocaine in his stomach or something. I don't know.
We're not exactly entirely certain what he does up there, but we don't really care because it never comes back to bother us anyway.
You know, we should talk to him about smuggling drugs. It is illegal.
It is? We're our own sovereign country.
Elsewhere, it is illegal.
Oh, okay. We'll have a word with him.
We don't have any money for smuggling of any drugs.
Paul's doing just fine.
Yeah, as to the time machine... that we heard about previously.
Yeah.
Time machine is just fine. We're not using it right now because the last time someone used it, they created a paradox that had to go back and get fixed. Jeremy.
I used part of it on the bug zapper.
That's great.
I replaced
you're
that.
Actually,
part,
you're actually sending the bugs back into...
it was fun for a while.
Why do you think malaria was so prevalent in Africa in the early 1800s?
That is true. That was our fault.
Yeah.
And what about the Swedes and the Danish, really? We like the Danish. Because we like Danish, really. Pastries
are
good.
I don't really know much about the Swedes.
Is that the Swedes or the Swiss?
The Swiss are neutral.
The Swiss are neutral. The Swedes are just
They make really good
Swedish.
Chocolate.
In America,
that's true.
In America, we don't know anything like geography. So all we know is
we don't know the geology of the world.
It makes pretty good beer too, don't they?
That means rocks.
I wouldn't know. I don't drink beer.
They also made the movie Let the Right One In, which is a pretty darn good vampire movie. So I can't. Really
what about the Belgians? Can we make fun of the Belgians?
No,
Belgians
make chocolate.
They make chocolate.
Ooh yeah. How about the Germans? Do we not like the Germans?
I don't know. Some of them are kind of cool.
Austrians. What have the Austrians gave us Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah. Mm.
Who was it that gave us
Czechoslovakia?
I don't know anything about
that. Or the Czech Republic, whatever it is now.
Actually, yeah, we can't really make fun of them either. Yeah, they have some relative.
How about Poland? Can we make fun of Poland?
Poland gets conquered by everybody. That's just sad.
They're as bad as the French when it comes to... We surrender!
I think we're just going to have to stick with France, guys.
France, Great Britain, rest of the world.
You know, Portugal or
Portugal.
I guess we can rip on...
Uruguay.
I guess we can rip
on... We hate Uruguay.
Uruguay!
We can rip on North Korea with their 3-foot-tall totalitarian dictator.
They do have nuclear weapons, but they're not going to make it to Kansas.
Yeah, they don't have bunker busters.
If they carry them...
Hungary! No, I hate Hungary.
I want Ecuador.
Ecuador.
El Salvador.
El Salvador?
No, Ecuador.
Ecuador? Yeah, we can rip on all
Chile?
Ecuador.
Chile is no, cool. But I like Chile.
Because Chile has the...
And Chile.
Okay, Ecuador it is. We hate Ecuador. Now.
Down with Ecuador.
Okay, we are going to start promoting the downfall of Ecuador. You want to know how... You want to know how I got in with these people?
We shouldn't tell them.
We shouldn't?
No.
No.
He will have to find out in episode 51.
Oh, yes, that is in episode 51. Right. Needless to say, it involved cookies.
And episode 51.
Yes. Yeah. So we'll just... How about
Manskita?
Manskita? What
about Rita the Manskita?
Well, is she half, what is she actually?
She's half woman, half Manskito. Duh. Haven't you seen the movie?
No, actually, I haven't.
Yeah, neither have I.
I never actually even saw.
It's an awful movie. I understand.
Capillaries in my brain burst to the point where I can't remember it.
Oh yes,
it was bad.
Are you sure she's not just made up?
Sci-fi original movie? Or
I've never met this chick,
Paulita the Manskito.
Yeah,
there's a picture of her on the website.
But
looks like Manskito, but with a veil.
Are you sure Manskito didn't just make her up?
No, they were married and everything. We were at the wedding.
They had a very nice service.
Why wasn't I invited?
You were invited. You were there.
I would really.
There was an open bar.
Oh, that would probably explain it.
Yeah. There you go.
You spent a lot of time there. Well, the rest of us kind of danced.
You never really made it into the reception hall. You just sort of
just
kind of
stayed there.
Yeah.
Well, it is free booze.
It's true. They had Guinness.
Oh yeah, there we go.
So you didn't have to eat either. You just.
Just drink that.
Drink your loaves
of
bread.
It's like bread in a,
Let's see. Jeremy and I were co-workers. I think we all met through friends first.
Right.
So,
yeah,
I met Jeremy through Sam, which is a friend of ours that no longer is a friend of Jeremy's.
No, we talked to Sam again, though.
Oh, yeah.
Wookie?
That's right. He apologized.
He was cool. I like Wookie.
Yeah.
I met Nathan through Jeremy, so...
Even though I had run into Ethan on a couple of occasions at the game place that he used to
work
at.
Actually, I met you, I think, later on through Josh, too. Josh Art.
I did meet... I met Jeremy through episode 51.
There was cookies.
And then I met Ethan,
And that's when I found out what you do with the duck.
Yeah.
That always has disturbed me.
With cookies. Uh-huh.
And the cookies and the duck. Oh. Anyway. Yeah. I did work with Jeremy for... A while, actually, at a place on the planet somewhere.
I have never worked with either one of them, which is probably a good thing because I have a very, very bad work ethic and I'm lazy.
All of us are not related in any way,
no.
Even though Nathan did steal, four of the letters from my name. So
yes,
we do not hang out at barbecues.
Sometimes we hang out at barbecues.
Yeah, when I have a barbecue over here, and when Jeremy has barbecues over at his place.
I'm saying we don't generally hang out at barbecue places.
Places.
Although you guys have to try that barbecue place that's right down the street from us. It's pretty good.
Yeah, good barbecue is good barbecue. Come to Kansas City for good barbecue.
Yes.
Are we secret behind the major bank robberies of the last 10 years?
Can't talk about that.
I already
that
told
one.
You the
name. Yeah. I'm going to have to invoke my Fifth Amendment rights of
non-self-incrimination.
Non-self-incrimination.
Our podcast has no budget. That should answer the question.
Exactly. There you go. But that's our email from Jesus, or Jesus, whatever you want to call it. I think it's Jesus.
He's our Savior.
I know. Thank you.
Thank you for emailing us.
Yes. Okay. And back to the sellswords of Punjar and Dave Griffin.
Why do we keep circling back?
Because I'm just going up the list, chronologically speaking.
But Punjar is over there.
Now it's right here.
A hidden message to Ouroboros?
There you go. Just heard your last Punjar adventure. I think the adventure is winnable if you only had a DM that could balance first level encounter. Geez, after that adventure, you'd certainly guarantee any new gamer would never play D&D again. Also, I suspect anyone who listened is probably never going to buy the Punjar adventure. I know I'm not. If you were trying to
wouldn't either.
I didn't buy it. I got it for free.
I'm pretty sure that that any GM that wasn't requested by Goodman Games to run the game as is will modify that adventure to make it easier for a first level group to pass.
God, it was horrible.
It depends on the style of game you want to run. Again, I mean, it's not. It's obviously not for us. So.
Bodies
also,
everywhere.
Also, mentioned before, it's a dungeon crawl classic. Dungeon crawl classics are usually
kick in the door, kill the monster, take the loot.
Not just that; they're also usually exponentially more difficult than other.
They're made in the vein of the first D&D first edition stuff, where it was you die a lot.
D&D adventures.
I speak elf now. I speak chaotic good. Okay, if you were
alignment languages.
If you are trying to prove that as the DM you could quote unquote win against the players using the power of the system, then congratulations, mission success. If you were trying to run a fun adventure for your friends, perhaps it was somewhat less successful. I was sorry to hear that your group is not going to Gen Con this year. I hope things work out for next year and you can go again.
Hey, we're doing CantCon instead, and if CantCon goes well, we may run CantCon again next year and invite more people.
Yes,
and get a bigger place.
And come hell or high water, I plan on going to Gen Con next year. So
then you can't do CantCon.
Well, we'll do CantCon on another weekend.
Yes.
But that's
for those
insane.
Of us that can't con. There's CantCon. Shut up.
He's
I was sorry to hear.
Ruined it.
You should put a PayPal contribute button on your site so your fans can contribute toward your convention fund. I'd be willing to contribute.
No.
Speaking of which, there is now a PayPal button on the front of our website
for Gen Con.
Let's see.
Well, actually, it's pretty much for donations to keep the website up and running.
It's for however, there's a donate button, and it's right above the sidebar. It just says donate, and you can donate however much money you want.
For whatever you want.
For whatever you want. We promise we might not spend it on booze and hookers.
Well, at least not the booze part, because two of us don't drink alcohol that much.
But everyone else loves hookers. So,
yes. But I'm married, so that takes me out of the running.
Well, Becca would like a hooker, I'm sure.
No, I don't want any competition. I would have to kill him and bury him in the backyard.
It's getting kind of full back there. Sorry, dude.
I'm burying in the backyard.
That's
hookers.
What
he
does.
Have you been pulling a Ben Affleck on me?
Yes. Jeremy remodeled his basement. Yeah. I can't put him there anymore.
No more basement.
No more dead hooker.
I guess I could throw him in the drainage ditch back there, too. Might get kind of stinky.
Well, with as fast as the water runs through that back drainage, just
sweet. Okay,
donations went from 100% down to 0% now.
And we got here's another great name, by the way. Here we got a message from a Magnus Nygaard.
Really,
Magnus Nygaard.
He's from Sweden.
Is he a mage?
Magnus the Dane is what he signs it as. Yes.
Really?
No, he's from Sweden. I sent an A3000 Amiga Commodore Amiga A3000 to a Magnus Nielsen. In Sweden. Talk about awesome names. I mean,
yeah,
get names like
we get crappy names in America. I mean, like,
and they get names like Magnus. I am Magnus.
I am Magnus, Lord of the Hill people. No.
My name's cool. That's all that's needed.
Well, when
Moving
you consider
on.
That it's a you're a Viking.
Okay,
yes,
he sent us messages from a perfectly neutral standpoint as a Dane. It is kind of sad to listen to the American penis envy towards the French. Fact of the matter is that the USA would not have existed were it not for the French, whereas France would exist irrespectively of the US. Now modern Americans hate this fact and try to distance themselves from it, and take a look at how the French are portrayed in HBO's John Adams, and would prefer to rewrite the history book so that it never happened. The English and Germans are allowed to insult the French as they have actually managed to win a war against them.
Actually,
great podcast, love your rants and reviews. Keep up the good work.
We're Americans. We can make
the
fun of
Canadian war.
We can make
That's
fun
true.
Of anybody. Just
we've got
Americans.
Freedom fries. We can make fun of whatever
freedom
we want.
Freedom fries.
Now, I don't really want to. I don't really like to make a lot of fun of the French because I do have some French blood in me from way, way, way.
And
back.
We don't hold it against
you're
you,
French bastard. You.
Yeah.
We don't hold that against
but
you.
The fact of the matter is the whole thing of
really
winning a war against France. If anybody remembers, before we had the War of Independence, we kicked their ass in the French Indian War with Britain. We kicked their ass.
And I don't care what the history books say. We won. We win everything. Anyway,
we are
grateful that France.
We're America.
Beat
England.
Beat England in the war.
But no, we like England.
Which is why a lot
because
of times,
England's not so uptight.
Yeah.
That's true.
And not French.
Well,
there's
the
that.
The only reason we dislike France now is
because they're French.
Is because they
they're French.
They don't stand up for themselves like they used to.
They're French.
Maybe right. They'll send us some hate mail.
Yeah.
If they send us hate mail.
If you're from France, send us hate mail.
If you are French and you send us hate mail, you will become one of our French fans.
Yes. Ha ha.
Yes.
Yeah, then we French. And then we'll just make fun of Ecuador.
Yeah, we've decided to make fun of Ecuador anyway, so this whole email doesn't matter.
Okay, we got an email from Galeshi. This is just his... don't have an actual name for him. So, thanks for the mention on Gamer's Haven, and thanks for pointing out the information again in it. I did decide on the cardstock disposable heroes. Not only the Western, but the horror and animals are also awesome for my needs. I want to ask you about your opinions on the New World of Darkness. I heard your distaste in it on it in the podcast, but since playing in a friend's game, I can't see what's bad with it. Once again, you're all awesome and continue to entertain and inform me on my long drives from my home to my apartments and vice versa.
All I can say about the World of Darkness is you have to be pretty damn stupid to name one of the game systems with the three with the abbreviated letters
WTF. Yeah, Werewolf the Forsaken. Awesome. My issue with the New World of Darkness, I liked Werewolf the Apocalypse, the second edition revised version was real cool. I got annoyed with is they did a whole business of rebooting the system and then just starting it pretty much. They're saying, oh, we're ending the world, it's the apocalypse, it's Gehenna, it's all that crazy crap, and let's just restart the system. And I just don't like what they did. It might be a good system. I don't really care because I don't like the setting. Well, so I like the old system just fine.
I read a bit of the World of Darkness book, and I'm not really that impressed. The sad thing is the Werewolf the Forsaken book actually does make a good system, but it's not the same quality as Werewolf the Apocalypse second edition.
But again, when you play those, a lot of times, for me, you just set aside the setting itself.
Oh, yeah. Well, I still say that I would love to go back to that World of Darkness setting from the second edition revised stuff that you did with the werewolves and the vampires and the hunter, although the hunter was horribly handicapped.
Was useless without help.
Which sucked. Yeah. But I liked the setting and I liked the character.
Mm-hmm. But the setting was, everything else was just legends and superstition. Yeah.
But it was a cool setting. And I like the way everything meshed together. It was cool to watch it go. Mm-hmm. It did suck that the hunter was absolutely useless.
I am glad he had fun in the system because, you know,
that's good.
Cool.
Have fun in whatever system you have. Yeah. We just like the old system just fine. Yeah, we're at that point when we're just fine with it. So.
We're old and crotchety.
Yeah, we're old and crotchety. Except for Jeremy and me who have gotten into 4th edition D&D.
Well, I have not had a chance to play 4th edition D&D.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just not going to go out and spend $90 on a bunch of books with the fear of never actually using them.
We've got the books.
I don't. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you don't need them.
If I'm going to continue to play, I'm going to need them for myself. But no, I would like to get into a 4th edition game, but it has not presented itself. I'd play in Ethan's, or in the Tolis 4th edition game, but at CanCon, I'm running Shadowrun at that time.
Yep.
And then the other 4th edition game, which is being run in the second game slot, I'm running Call of Cthulhu, which is full up. And the only other AD&D game that I know of is the second ed game that's being run in the third session. I'm playing Mutants and Masterminds in that session, bitches.
Uh-huh. This Mutants and Masterminds is awesome.
Yeah,
we love Green Ronin. Anyway.
Yes.
We got another email from Sanjian Unkara, also known as Jason. Let's see. Sent us a link to a product on RPG Now. It is loading. Oh, it's Bride of Portable Hole.
Oh, yeah, that's actually pretty funny.
I don't know if you already have this or not, but I thought there were some things in it that could be fun in the Lost Tales game, and even some stuff for the Wizards College game as well. There's even something called Halfling Sticky Fingers.
Yeah.
If you don't have it yet, it's a free download, so it's not a bad deal. Go to rpgnow.com. You can pick it up. It's just Bride of Portable Hole.
Make sure you go through our site, though.
It's a free one. It doesn't really matter. But, yeah, go through our site. Go to CanadianCrusaders.com, then go to RPG Now.
We need to make it happen. Get everybody in the habit.
Yeah. So if you go to RPG Now, go to CanadianCrusaders.com and go through us, or we will track you down and have you murdered.
Murder.
With Ecuadorians or something.
Machetes.
Yes. Yes, I have actually seen that. It is actually kind of funny.
Machetes?
The Bride of Portable Hole. That one's a sequel, I think, because I think there is Portable Hole Full of Beer, and then there's Bride of Portable Hole.
Hilarious. You could actually bring some of the stuff to 4th Ed, and it'd be fine.
All right. And now we get to our last email in the pot here from Dave. Dave Griffin. Hi, Dave.
Hi,
say hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave. And he's responding to the latest episode of Deadlands, which when this comes out probably will still be the latest episode of Deadlands.
Did I get shot in the head?
I think this is after that.
I got shot in the head.
All right.
I'm better now.
Title of this email is Great Last Episode of Deadlands. Almost crashed my car. It was so funny, especially the image of your gunfighter in bear pelts with squirrel pelt shoes.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that is pretty funny. Yeah. I had a weird problem with the session Three Mutants and Masterminds game. It kept shutting my first-gen iPod Touch off. Still don't know why. Might not be related to the show. It hasn't done it since, but I still haven't listened to Session 4 or later yet. iTunes is still mixing your podcast into one and sometimes two categories rather than having one per podcast. That's because you have an old iPod. iTunes, blah, blah, blah. I still don't know why, but it started happening when the 3.0 software arrived. In one case a couple weeks ago, one of the podcasts downloaded but wouldn't show up at all. I reported that. Nothing like that since. I just have to look at the one folder and find the podcast from the game I want to listen to. And so far, that's been doable. I'd like to suggest that you might want to introduce your players and DM by name at the beginning of sessions so that you can tell who is talking by character name, if not by real name. And it might be useful to explain a little bit about the game system, too. For instance, I'm guessing that Mutants and Masterminds must be a D20-based in some way because it sounds a lot like 3rd Ed D&D, but with superheroes. You could have a brief blurb about the system and what you like and don't like about it, and that could help understand what is happening with the game. For instance, it's only now reading the D20 version of Deadlands that I realize that the reason why your gunfighter shoots his friends as much as the monsters is that he actually took an edge, or a feat edge is actually a hindrance, called Grim Servant of Death that actually does that on purpose. A little explanation of things like that people can comment on might be useful in the podcast.
We have mentioned that on several occasions in the podcast.
Actually, but not in the...
Not in the podcast,
it's really
but
sort
in
of
the game.
In the game,
game.
We've sort of mentioned it in passing. I don't think we didn't actually like sit there.
I
will say one thing I did fail to mention is if you go to our website, CanadianCrusaders.com, and click on the actual play link on the sidebar, and then click on the Deadlands feed, you can go in and look at the character sheets, actually, because I do have the character sheets all posted as much as possible for all the games we play. Which would show that stuff. So there is that.
I guess we could do.
Well, I don't see why we couldn't why I wouldn't at the start of the game just go around the table saying it's Ethan on DM and you know blah 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 such and such as far as knowing who the players are and who they're playing. That's actually a good idea. Thanks, Dave. I'll probably start doing that. Now, he continues. Also, I don't know if it's just me, but sometimes it's hard to understand what's going on when there are multiple conversations going. Yeah, I'm the GM, and that happens all the time. I have a problem where I have a hard time understanding speech when it's mixed up with other speech at the same time. I can't pick out one conversation from the surrounding conversations. That's probably just me, but it might not hurt to try to have one game-related conversation at a time. I got lost a couple of times in the Mutants and Masterminds game, and lastly, you might want to put a PayPal contribute button on your site so people can help you support in ways other than buying from RPG Now. Maybe it would help you fund your next Gen Con visit. As I said, the donate button is up. Donate millions of dollars to the Ethan... millions of dollars to the Send Ethan to Gen Con fund.
The Gamers Haven to Gen Con.
Anyway.
If we were all going, I think people might actually...
Our fans would flock to us.
What
we would be like gods. Mm-hmm. Gods among men.
Well, I'm going to do my best to go to Gen Con again next year. And I am not going to stop people from going to the website and donating money. If you want to go and donate money, do it.
Yes.
We're not that big, so I don't really expect anything.
Yeah. If I get a dollar out of it, I'll be surprised. So... I'm going to Gen Con for the first time in about 15 years, and I'm looking forward to it. The dealer room is always just about the best part. If I see something interesting, I'll let you know. I've been a critic in the past, especially of your Punjar game and the Deadlands game to a lesser extent, and criticism is hard to take, especially when you're doing something for free. On the other hand, people don't bother criticizing something that they don't care about.
True.
I brought the subject of the Punjar game up on the WotC forums and was able to get some useful insights on how people are playing D&D in ways very different from what I'm used to. I would regard the Punjar game as a failure if I had been a player or the DM, but there is a wide range of opinion on DM philosophy, most of it depending on what the players playing the game want. I found it a good opportunity to re-examine my own philosophies on gaming and DMing. Just a few suggestions. Good luck, and I was sorry to hear you wouldn't be at Gen Con. Yes. Sadly, I will not be at Gen Con. Thanks for rubbing it in. No. Yes, we do appreciate your emails, Dave. Actually, it's obviously we've had lots of good discussion about it.
I like the point of view he puts out, and I hopefully he keeps that up. I just don't think we're big enough. I mean, it'd be great if the donate button worked. I mean, that would be nice to be able to go places like cons.
Yeah.
I don't think we're big enough.
No, but the donate button is up. If people want to go there and donate money for our Gen Con fund, go right ahead. Two of the three of us have jobs, one doesn't. So, that would be me. But
and we have
I'm not going to stop people. I had always sort of shied away from putting a donate button up, but, you know, now someone has asked for it, so I guess I'm just going to go ahead and put it up. So.
Is it the same person that asked?
Yes,
twice?
It's the same guy.
Yeah, I mean, if something goes...
But it's up there now.
Yeah,
so.
If something happens with it, we'll have to discuss it, but I don't think anything will. I don't think we're big enough.
So either. I don't think, if it generates any revenue, I don't think it's going to be a whole heck of a lot. So, but it is up there. If you guys want to go donate money to help keep the site running, keep Vorpal going, keep Gamers Haven sitting on fat loot, go right ahead.
Yeah. Now, if you want to buy the show and keep us on it, you know, we could probably work something out.
Yes, we'll sell the show for a mere $2 million.
Each. That's after taxes.
After taxes, yes.
Not before. That's after.
And we will completely sell out, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, if Microsoft buys it, we'll be completely pro-Microsoft.
Right. Well, gaming, too, but...
And gaming, yeah.
$2 million? You're going to have to work out your own deal. I want, like, 4 or 5. That's after taxes. Always after
Jeremy,
taxes.
Jeremy doesn't have to come with the show. I'd like to point that out. That
I will sue!
I actually control the show in its entirety.
I have ninjas.
The show is copyright Ethan Parker. So.
I will stab you with this pencil.
Yeah. Whatever, dude.
Stabbing with the pencil.
Depends on who we sold out to.
$4 million.
Oh, so it is going $4
million. Wizards of the Coast?
Yep.
Dude, you see how much crap they sent
us
for
Canton? If Wizards of the Coast,
that was freaking awesome.
If they came in the door right now and said, I will give you just $1 million each. You want... Okay.
Okay.
After taxes?
In cash, right now.
And also, Dave did let me know that there was a problem with the Meets and Masterminds feed. Apparently, the last episode of it was the last thing in the feed is the update sort of saying that we're not doing it anymore for the time being was just downloading the last episode again. So I fixed that. Thank you for letting us know. Yeah.
Is that all the email?
That is all the emails.
Holy hell, that took 2 hours.
Yes. Yes, it did. Told you we needed a feedback episode. Now my inbox is significantly less full.
Kicks
but
ass.
Yes.
Do you save those emails?
I did. Well, no. I save them until I read them on air. Now they are saved for posterity in digital format.
Okay.
Right here. Right now. They're being saved as we speak.
Unless we have a computer crash and then this file is lost, then we're really screwed.
I back it up, so.
Oh, that's true.
It could be like the lost Doctor Who episodes.
Lost and gone forever, dreadful sorry.
Yes.
Which is really also, quick note, if anyone has had a problem getting to our website or the Vorpal website or the Tome Show, our host has been moving our stuff to a new server, so.
With better security.
Hopefully. Moving our stuff to another server, and so that's been taking some time, and obviously it's messing with some IPs here and there, but it should fix itself within a couple days. By the time this episode posts, you shouldn't be having any more problems. If you do, let us know, and I'll let the people who need to know about the problem. As far as, gosh, anything else that's going on, other than CantCon sort of taking up all of our time... or at least all of my time.
It would take up more of my time if people would include me.
We're going over to Jeremy's on Sunday.
Yeah, I'll try to be there.
I'll be there.
Yeah, if you're not there, we'd be a little pissed.
I might let people in.
What the hell? Jeremy's not here. We're all over here working on CanCon in his place.
I work on it a lot because I don't have a job, so I can actually stay at home and do stuff.
Well, I've been sans car since last Wednesday.
Yes.
And I could have done stuff here that is possible for me to work on here.
Yeah. Yes. I'm also a horrible control freak, so.
That's true.
Ah! I cast thee out.
I'm just agreeing.
I am a horrible control freak, and I understand it. And
we were trained to say that, though.
I will neither confirm nor deny Ethan's statement about being a control freak.
Yes, and I've trained Jeremy very well. Jeremy, sit. Stay. He's gonna stab me. Jeremy, stab.
So you're coming over on Sunday, are you? Let me go buy a chainsaw. I mean,
don't you already have a chainsaw?
Ice cream.
Ooh, ice cream.
Nah. You know, Jeremy, that the best way to actually dispose of a body is a chip shredder.
Sweet. I'm gonna be mulch. Can you at least wait till after CantCon?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, come on. Don't you want me to run?
Yeah.
Need some masterminds and feng shui. I'll wait. I mean, come on.
Well, I can't. I don't get to go in the feng shui game because I'm going to be running Call of Cthulhu.
If you bribe me with a dollar or free food or something, I will run feng shui again. And I'm sure Jeremy would run Star Wars again.
Actually, I've got a request from Andrew to run Star Wars
again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, the thing is it was like originally it was set up in such a way that I was able to play. To play in the Star Wars game, but then all hell broke loose.
Then Chris happened.
Yeah. And Chris it has to be, Call of Cthulhu has to be in the afternoon. All right, put it for the early afternoon.
I will tell you, at CantCon, I did put together an MP3 CD of Gamer's Haven episodes that is going in everyone's swag bag. So.
Cool.
So people can use those as drink coasters as much as they want. But anyway, that is our episode for today. We're just doing entirely feedback.
Yeah, we're not going to do a three-parter this time.
Nope. No three-parter this time. But that is episode 52.
Two.
Yeah. One. No. 52. 52. Yes. I think I need to make this 52 and just confuse the hell out of everybody.
I think we should continue. And
I get more emails that way. Sweet.
Yeah. Make sure you make a placeholder for 51 saying.
And no enclosure. Yeah. Be great.
Just episode 51.
Our best episode ever. Nothing.
And then, link it to a page. Hyperlink it to a page, and it goes to the page. We're terribly sorry, but episode 51 has been lost due to the fact of Ethan not backing up his hard drive. As soon as this episode is found, we shall resupply.
See, I think it should have been
should
taken
be something
over
along the lines
bed.
Of somebody who will not be named, Jeremy, use the time machine, and episode 51 doesn't exist anymore. So.
Touch the computer. No. Episode 51 has been removed from the timeline due to paradox.
Yes. You remember we talked about paradoxes? Yes.
We could talk about paradoxes.
Anyway, that's episode 52. Yes, 52.
Hopefully next time will be 53, but we might just go to 54.
We might just start doing even podcasts. Yes. Who knows?
That way we can reach 100 faster.
But thanks for listening. thanks for listening.
Thanks for all the email.
We'll talk to you later.
Send money.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.
This podcast is supported by RPG Now, the leading source of indie role-playing games, with over 10,000 RPG titles from over 500 creators and publishers. There are new RPG treasures to discover every day at www.rpgnow.com.
Vorpal Network and the Gamer's Haven proudly present 1,000 Monkeys production of A Monty Cook Adventure. Tolus, the Knight of Dissolution. An adventure for Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition. Following the threads of a hidden conspiracy, six heroes find themselves up against insane cultists, wild chaos magic, and horrors from the primordial days of the world. Urban intrigue, dungeon exploration, and high action span the grand city of Tolus, the city by the spire. Join these heroes as they explore a former brothel, the laboratory of the dreaded Surgeon in Shadows, and even secret temples of chaos cults. Can these intrepid adventurers stave off the Night of Dissolution? a dark time long foretold when the slumbering lords of chaos will awaken in their hidden lairs deep below Tullus and bring catastrophe to the world?
You've been listening to the Gamers Haven Podcast. You can find us on the web at www.canadiancrusaders.com. The Gamers Haven Podcast is a member of the Vorpal Network at www.vorpalnetwork.com. Gamers Haven and Thousand Monkey Productions are copyright 2008 and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Stop by our website to check out our actual play feed, fill out our feedback guest book, or hit us on the forums. Music on the show is used with permission by Joe Hero Band, www.joehero.com, and this has been a Thousand Monkeys production.
Friday night and we're headed for the drive-in. You were mad at something you thought I said. Thought a night out with you and me and these, you would make everything alright.